So we're going to talk about we were made for this. And I just want to encourage you, you were handmade for this time, for this day and age. God knew from the beginning when he created you in your mother's womb, he knew what you were going to face. He knew the times, the seasons that you were going to be going through. And he looked down and he gave you the gifts and the talents that you needed to be able to get through this life and to fulfill the plan of God for your life. He gave it to you ahead of time. It was put in you from the time you were in your mom's stomach while you were being developed. Janet, your baby is being developed for the seasons that are going to be happening when that child is growing up. That baby is going to know and be ready to be able to do what he or she needs to do when they're facing whatever the world looks like at that point. And so I remember my dad, before I was born, he was not sure he wanted to have children because he did not want them to have to live in the day and age that was coming. You know, he could just see things, and at that point they were living in South Africa, and this is things were beginning to get kind of volatile there, and he was just like, I do not want to bring a child into this world. But I was born anyways, and then 2 years later my brother was born, and you know, I can remember even at different points with my children, and especially as they're going through school, some of the different things that I see them facing that I didn't have to face. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what about my grandchildren? What could it look like when they're having to go to school? Maybe it would be better not to have grandchildren so they don't have to face these things. And today, God just arrested my heart and just put it in my heart that, you know what? He knew before I was ever born what the circumstances were going to be when I'm walking this earth. He knew the same thing for you guys. He knew what you were going to need to be able to overcome and live victoriously, whatever that looks like. And so I just want to encourage us today, Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So God knew in advance. He sent Jesus already. We're after Jesus. So he's already given us the ability to be victorious and to walk through this life. He already knew what, and now it's our job to live the way that God intends for us to live and to share that hope with others and his love with other people. So it is not by accident that you are here at Andover Christian Center tonight. It's not by accident that somebody crossed your path and shared the salvation of God with you. It's not by accident that you're finding out your redemptive rights and privileges through Christ Jesus. That was not on accident. God desired for you to know. His desire has been for all of us to know, every person, to get saved and to know this. But he knew you from the beginning and knew if he crossed someone across your path that you would respond. And so when that person came across your path, you did respond. And for some, Mary Grace in Christ, your parents have taught you from the time you were born. You've been in church every time the doors are open. You are so blessed. It's just a natural part of your life. You don't know any different. Praise God. From the beginning, when you were born, God already had a plan for your life, for each and every one of us. He already has something dynamic for us to do. And it's for this hour that we're in. And so there's a lot of things that are going on. You can always hear gripes and complaints everywhere around you. You can turn the TV on and hear how this isn't fair and that's not fair, and how this terrible thing is happening over here, and how this official isn't doing things right, and that official is just, you know, depending on who you're listening to, which official it is that's bad and which official is good. And nobody's ever really good, because you're going to hear it from somewhere that how they're not good. And it can look like we're in a helpless situation, and that we're, that the world just keeps getting darker and darker. And it can just, if you let it, it can begin to be discouraging and just like, oh man. But God tells us in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So we need to understand one of the things that we are called to do is to pray. That is something that God has put on us as a believer. He's equipped us to be able to do it. He's given us everything that we need to be effective when we pray. And we don't have to pray from this lowly position of, you know, oh, the poor Christians, they're just not winning because this is happening and that is happening, and oh man, look at us. Nobody wants to be a Christian in our state or in our city or wherever we are. Look, it's just, you know, you can look at yourself as being the, in Star Wars, the little rebels that, you know, there's just a few of them, but somehow they manage to win. But, you know, then they lose sometimes too. But the dark evil side is just so big and so powerful and so, you know, and it's just the poor little small group of people that are trying to do things right. You can get that impression as a Christian that you're just this barely get along person that really you're not going to make a big difference in the world. It's not what you have to do is insignificant. And it's not true. That is a lie sent by the devil himself to get us to throw our hands up and say, okay, I quit. Forget it. It's not worth it. It's not, there's nothing that I can do about all of this, all these world tragedies that are going on. I can't do anything. And I can't trust so-and-so to do it in this position because they're corrupt or whatever. The different things that, you know, you hear from whatever source that you're hearing. But the fact of the matter is that we're not lowly. We have God Almighty on our side. And we have power from on high backing us up. And when we pray, there's weight behind what we have to say. So we bind together and we pray and we can expect results. Even if it's this amount of people right here, if we're all praying, it's not like, okay, there's 20 people and so it's one times 20 equals 20. The Bible says there's a multiplication process that begins to happen. When all of us are praying, it's different. It's not just one times 20. You know, one puts 10,000. I can't even remember offhand, I wasn't planning on using that scripture, but or one puts 1,000 and two puts 10,000 to flight. Well, if you start multiplying like that, it really doesn't take a whole lot before you've got a lot of activity that's going on. And that's how we have to look at this. We're not the weak underdog. We're not the one that's barely getting in there and we won by 1 point. No, we're the ones that when everything is said and done, we're going to reign as kings and queens here on earth, and there's going to be a new earth. The old's going to be passed away. You know what? The devil loses. And so we have to keep that in mind day in and day out. We win. We win. I don't care who wins the election. We win. It doesn't matter what's going on. We win. And just to keep that in mind. And you know what? We're strong in faith because we have the sword of the Spirit on our side, the Word of God. And so when we're standing, we're praying, we've got the Word of God backing us. And you know what? The Bible says that His Word doesn't return void. So if He's spoken something, it's going to come to pass. The only way it won't is if we give up. So if we make a pact, I'm not going to give up. You're not going to give up. We win. And so that's how we have to look at things, is that we're not the underdogs, we're the winners. We're the victors. We're the ones called and anointed by God for His plan to come to pass in this day and age, and He's using us because we're on the right side. So we are powerful because God is powerful. And so Ephesians 2:6, we can... I'll give you guys time to look it up if you brought your Bible. Ephesians, because we'll be in Ephesians for a little bit. Ephesians 2:6. It says, "And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So we're not even seated down here. We're not in the weeds. We're not where you can't see the forest for all the trees. We're not in that position at all. We've got the bird's eye view. And so when we realize that we're seated up here and we're looking down at the problems, they look like this. And so that's the reason why God never falls off the throne. When something bad happens, He's not just like, "Oh my goodness, can you believe that?" Because it looks like this compared to where He's seated and compared to the power and the authority He has. It's insignificant. And the more that we realize that, the more that things start coming against us, we just push it away and say, "You know what? That is insignificant to the power of God. It does not compare at all." This, when we have the bird's eye view, when we realize we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, when we start looking at life from up here, instead of just, "Oh, I'm knocked by this wind or that wind," and just blowing all around, when we see ourselves up here and we're looking down at the situations, we have a different perspective. And we don't start going like this. And our emotions are all over the place because we just don't see how there's a way for us to win. You know, there's just no way. If we look at Ephesians 1:22-23, it says, "And God put all things under His feet," which is Jesus, "and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." I'm going to read this in the NLT. "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church." It's for our benefit that God is over everything, that Jesus is over everything. "The church And the church is his body. So is his body disconnected from the head? Or is the body a part of the head? The head's attached. So if the head is seated with God in heavenly places, then it makes sense that the body can be up there too. And looking at life from that perspective. And it says, his church, the church is his body, and it is full and complete by Christ. There's nothing lacking in you. There may be things that we are renewing our minds to, but there is nothing lacking in you. There is not, you were not born a loser. There are no losers in Christ. There's no losers. So, you are significant. You are powerful. You are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And you are looking at life from up here. And so when we pray, we don't pray like, oh my gosh. It's not a reactionary prayer. It's not a prayer like, oh, this is happening. Help, Jesus, help. You know, no, it's like, God, let's go. We're praying. We're believing. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Just because things look bad does not mean that God isn't working. Sometimes we think, oh, this looks so bad. How in the world could God be in this? But you know what? Things could not have looked worse when Jesus died on the cross. It could not have looked worse. I mean, his disciples were, what? They're thinking they're going to be reigning on earth. Victory! We're going to conquer all these people that have been conquering us all this time. We're going to be all powerful. That's the image that they saw and they thought was going to happen. And then here, their Messiah died on a cross. What? You know, to the point where Peter denied Jesus for three times because he was like, I don't know what is going on. He was beside himself. It looked bleak. And yet, that was the biggest victory that took place. That was the darkest moment. And yet, the biggest victory took place in spite of that. And so we have to look at it like that. We have to realize we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting parties. We're not fighting the neighbor. We're not fighting the boss at work, the teachers at school, the bullies at school. We're not fighting flesh and blood. That's not where our eyes need to be focused. Our eyes need to be realizing that we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places and we are looking down. And our war, if you look in Ephesians 6:12, take you just a minute to get there. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And so we have to realize and put our efforts and our focus on that and not on people. People are not our problem. So if we're realizing what we're praying for, what we're standing against, what we're believing, and the fact that the devil loses, then every time we go to pray, we are in faith because we're excited about what God is doing and his power and his ability. It does not help to whine and complain about all the bad things that are going on in this world. We don't need to whine and complain about the governments, about administrations, about local authorities, about the police. When we do this, we are not in faith because our eyes are focused on the wrong things. Our eyes are not getting the bird's eye view. We are looking in the natural. And when we fight in the natural, it's easy to lose. But when we fight from a supernatural point of view, we have the power of God behind us, and that force always wins. No matter what it looks like in the natural, that force always wins. And the church has been given authority by God to rule and to reign in this life. So what we are doing coming to church, nobody goes to church. Why am I coming to church? And in fact, I'm coming twice a week. Why would I do that? You know, because we are here for a purpose. It's important that we realize that. There's a purpose for our lives. There's a purpose for the church. And that purpose is to rule and reign and take authority that God gave us when He died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't keep the authority to Himself. He gave it to His body. And He said, you go and you take authority. So Adam had authority. He messed up. Sin entered the world. It was terrible. We're dealing with the effects of it today. It was bad. But one greater than Adam died on the cross, took the authority back, gave it to the church, and said, this is better. So, if that's the case, we should have this confident expectation that God is using us. He can use us. There's a reason. I don't care how many people are in church. We win.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what it looks like. But as we begin to realize the authority that we have as Christians, the more strong in faith that we are, the more focused our prayers become. The more authority we begin to take in prayer, believing and expecting God to fulfill His word. It's our responsibility to pray. I'm going to share something with you that Brother Hagin mentioned in his book, The Triumphant Church. I heard him, I think he said this even in one of the meetings that I was in. He had a vision in which Jesus told him, if the Christians of this nation, this was back in 1979, if the Christians of this nation had done what I told them to do in my word and had prayed for the leaders of their country, they could have kept those evil spirits you saw in 1970 from operating in this nation. None of those upheavals would have occurred in your nation. You would not have had the political, social, and economic disturbances in this nation. And the president never would have made the mistakes he made. In fact, I'm holding the church responsible for the president's mistakes. That's pretty heavy hitting. But that's because He already did what it took on the cross for us as a church to be triumphant. For us as a church to go and walk in the authority that is necessary to win. He's done it. So it's time for us to realize that and to take our place and to say, enough is enough. I'm not the loser. I'm the winner. I'm not the barely get along. I'm not the underdog. I'm the winner. I'm the overcomer. I am going to see the plan of God happen. That's the position that we take when we pray. It's important for believers everywhere to pray for the right people to come into positions of authority during critical times. It's also important to keep praying fervently once someone is in that position. We don't just give up and say, okay, We got the person we wanted in office. Woohoo! And then stop praying. If we don't keep praying, we are giving up our authority to the welfare of the government, and the nation will be at risk. The government is not the highest authority. God is, and He has given that authority to the church. We have that authority. That's why what we're doing is so important. That's why coming on Wednesday nights is so important. Coming consistently on every time the doors are open, when you can, be there, you're there. That's why this is so important. Because we get together, we remind ourselves of what it is. Because when we're one off, by ourselves, living our Christian life unto ourselves, because no church is good enough for us to be a part of, when we live like that, it's easy for the devil to pick us off. But when we get together, we build one another up. We pray, we worship God, we hear the word, and we go out and conquer. We get our marching orders and we go out and we conquer. And we expect victory because we're Christians. Praise God. We're the winners. So, how can God use our prayers to influence kings? To influence those that are in authority. How can He do that? We can see in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed. He prayed a lot. There were Hebrew children that were set aside that had not bowed their knee to idols. They had heard the words of Jeremiah, and they took him seriously, and they were praying. And while they were praying, God was able to give Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And that dream changed things. And in Genesis, God gave Pharaoh a dream. And Joseph was the only one that could interpret it. And Joseph ended up becoming second in command of Egypt. And we can see in 2 Chronicles 18, when the wicked Israeli king Ahab, he had an evil plan. And he had a scheme of what he was going to do, and it was evil. It was against what God wanted. And so God put bad counselors around him that gave him bad advice, and he wasn't able to get his plan to succeed because he was hearing bad advice, and it caused his plans to fall apart. So he never got to fully do all the evil that was in his heart because there were counselors that were leading him the wrong way. And we can see in the book of Esther that God used a beautiful young lady to spoil the plans of Haman, who was an evil person that had great influence in his kingdom. So God, through, even though He used Esther, do you know what? The Jewish people were praying for 3 days before the king and made her supplication. People were praying. We hear of how great Esther was, but there were people that were praying. It was on the backs of prayer that God was able to use Esther and to be able to create that situation to where the Jewish people were not all killed. And so we can see where God has written on walls. And look in the Old Testament. See, He wrote on walls. He appeared in the form of a bright light to Saul, who's now Paul. Saul was going about trying to kill every Christian he could find. And the Christians were praying. And a bright light was able to cause Paul or Saul to take a second look at what he was doing. He realized he was doing it with what he thought was for God, but he realized, oh, that wasn't God. And he was able to do that because Christians were praying at that point. And so you can see kings ate grass. There's all sorts of things. You know, Moses, when he had his hands up. The Israelites won when he began to put his hands down. They lost, and then so people were holding his hands up. There's event after event after event that you can see. The Old Testament are examples for us to see the importance of how when we are doing things God's way and hooking up with God, we overcome. How many stories in the Old Testament are there where it looks like they're not going to make it, and yet they not just little get by, they really overcome. You can see David and Goliath. You can see when they went to the Red Sea and the water parted. There's all of these things where it looks like in the natural, there's no way out. It's a losing situation. We might as well just, in fact, some of them said, we might as well just die. Forget it. He led us out here just to die. And yet, there were people that were holding on and saying, you know what? The same God that got us out of Egypt is going to get us over to the other side. And sure enough, he did. And so, that's the attitude that we have to have, no matter what is going on around us, that we are going to get to the other side. This scripture came to me this week in a different way. I've always looked at Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, as being, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I've always thought about that, like if you actually had a loved one die, or maybe you're sick, or, you know, someone you know is sick and to the point of death. I've always looked at it more like with a physical thing. But then I began to realize, what if it's just a bad situation you're going through? You are going to walk through. You're not going to stop in the middle of that situation. You're going to walk through, and you're going to get to the other side. And while you're walking through, oh my goodness, look at that over there. Look at this. Oh my goodness. Oh, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. You know, just you can get overwhelmed. But it says that when we are walking through that, we can fear no evil. We don't have to fear what's going on this side. We don't have to fear what's going on that side. We can go through it with our heads held high, with knowing that the authority of God is backing us, and we don't have to be afraid of anything. Jim said it the one day, not too long ago, where, okay, if you get knocked down, well, just get me right back up. The fight isn't over. The fight's not over until I win. So we're just going to keep going until the end result is I win. And that's the attitude that we have to have as Christians. All right, this one didn't go quite as well as I was hoping, but it's not over. I'm going to get right back up, and I'm going to keep going forward, and I'm going to win. And that's how we have to look at every circumstance that we're going through. And realize, too, that God is giving us this authority for something even beyond us. For something to affect not just our nation, all nations. Not just our town, the whole state. Not just this state, all of the states. And we are standing and taking our authority and allowing God to use us to pray His plan, His purpose out here and now. There's a reason God sent someone from Omaha, Nebraska out to Andover, Massachusetts. There's a reason. There's times that you look at it and you're being like, Lord, what is going on? But you know what? There's a reason. And it's not over. We're still here. We're still fighting. We're still going. And it's not over until we win. When we as a church win and fulfill what God intended. There's a reason why we're here. There's great churches all around us. And yet God still saw fit to bring someone from Omaha, Nebraska to Massachusetts. Why? But it's His plan. It's His purpose. And so, since that's His plan and His purpose, there is a reason. And so we just keep going and going with a little Energizer Bunny. You don't stop until that plan and that purpose is fulfilled. And so we take that authority. We don't look at it as being an underdog. Well, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. They just didn't know any better. You know, they moved their family out here, but they would have been so much better off had they stayed. No. No. We're here. You're here for a reason, for a purpose. We're supposed to be here. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, when we're praying, and when we realize the authority that He's given us when we're praying, our prayers can be precise. They're focused. They're effectual. They have tremendous power. And that power is available for God's plans to prevail in these last days. And it's exciting to be a part of the winning team. It's exciting to be a part of what God is doing. It's exciting to know no matter what things look like, it's going to change. It's exciting to have that and to run with that. And so I put on your scripture sheet some books that you might like. I mentioned the one already, The Triumphant Church by Brother Hagin. The Believer's Authority is awesome by Brother Hagin. It's great because it just goes through Ephesians and just really tells you how that you're seated in heavenly places with Christ and tells you the power of the prayer that you have. It's a really, really good book. Another one that I just finished reading, here it is. It's by Patsy Caminiti, and it's called For Such a Time as This. And I have to tell you, I stole some of her ideas for tonight's sermon, because she is talking about us praying for our nation, not just our nation, but nations in general, but also for our local authorities. And Patsy used to travel with Brother Hagin as well. I missed her by a year. She left the year before I went to Rhema. But my mom, she was an instructor at Rhema when my mom went to school. So my mom got to hear her and has some of her tapes and CD, or it was tapes back then. But she is powerful. She and her husband, they're doing great things. They're in Australia right now. But they're doing mighty things for God. So this would be a really good book. I put it on your list if you're interested. Because we're in a time where we've got election that's coming. And our nation is going through changes. We're seeing the morality issues going crazy right now. We're in a time where we really need to be praying for our nation. And we have authority. You know, we can say, oh my goodness, another thing just got passed. Can you believe it? No. Enough's enough. And we just start praying what God has for us to pray. And so I put on there, here's some things that we can pray for. We can pray for the leaders of all nations. Let's start big. Not just our nation, for all nations. You know what? There's some scary stuff out there. Some of those leaders are a little bit imbalanced. So let's pray for them. You know, we can pray for our president and the cabinet and all of these advisory positions. These people are powerful that are advisors to the president. We need to pray that the right advisors are advising the president. And if the president is doing crazy stuff, we need to pray that his advisors are giving him bad advice to where those evil schemes can't come to pass. You know? Just like that happened in the Old Testament. We need to pray for our Senate and our House of Representatives, for the Supreme Court and the federal judges, for the governor and all of his advisors, for the state Senate, the state House of Representatives, the educators, the ones that are affecting what's being taught in your child's school. That's on the federal level, that's on the state level, and that's on the local level. You can pray for your superintendents. Pray for the principals. Pray for the teachers, the educators. Pray that the right teachers are hired, the teachers that are going to not talk against the things of God. Not try to encourage your children to believe other things other than Christianity. We pray for that. We can pray for our local officials, our sheriffs, our school. In Andover, we have a board of selectmen, town council, whatever in your town, whatever they call it. We pray for our military. We pray for our police. And one of the things that, a prayer that was given when we were at Winter Bible Seminar this past February, let me just put this note here. Jim and I will never preach politics because we do not believe that that's what God has put on our hearts to do. But we do believe that we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that God can cause you to know which is the right person to vote for. So you won't hear us say different things because everybody's in a different place. And so we want every person to come to Andover Christian Center, no matter what political party that you're a part of. We want everybody to be included in Andover Christian Center. So you won't hear us say a whole lot on that at all. But we do believe very strongly that it is our rights as Christians to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not led by what you're hearing on TV or what you're reading in the paper or what you're reading on the internet. You are led by the Holy Spirit. Not just because Uncle Joe said this, Aunt Sue said this, but what is God telling you? And a good way to do that is to check, what does the Bible say on the different things that are being, the different ideas that are out there. And you line up your choice with what is the Bible saying. And it may surprise you. There may be things that you thought, oh, I never even saw that. But God will begin, if you will truly trust Him to lead you, He will begin to open up your eyes as to who you are supposed to vote for. and your vote does count, and your vote does matter. And so this is a prayer, and we'll just read it together, but I would encourage you to read this as often as you can, as you desire to do it, because this is something, and again, it's not just until November, but it's through November. It's during the whole next term. We want to believe, we want to be praying for those that are in authority. But this is a very good prayer. It's something that Brother Hagin prayed back in 1983. But I think once you finish reading it with me, you will see how applicable it is still today. And so we pray this, and then you can pray in tongues after this. At the end of it, it'll say that. Tonight, we're running out of time. We won't end up doing that. But even if we aren't together, if we're all joining together in this prayer, even if it's at different times, we're connected in the Spirit. We're agreeing with one another as a collective body of Christ for His will to be done. So let's just read this together. Does everyone have that paper, that page? All right. Heavenly Father, we come again tonight. You guys can just read it with me. We come in the name of Jesus. Not our name, not our power, not our holiness, not even our goodness, but we come in the name of Jesus, washed in His blood, robed in His righteousness. We come because You told us to come. You said in Your holy word for us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help and grace to help in the time of need. Thank You, Father. We are exhorted in Your word to pray, to intercede, to supplicate, and to give thanks for all who are in authority, that Christians, that believers everywhere may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for our leaders, our president, every member of Congress, the Supreme Court, the President's Cabinet, everyone that's in authority, that divine wisdom and grace will be given unto them, and direction will be given unto them. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would try to dominate and rule in our own nation. We rise up against that darkness. We rise up against those spirits and dispel the darkness. In the name of Jesus, we command the devil to take his hands off of the political scene of our nation. We pray for every politician, everyone that's in office, that they'll not be so concerned about politics, that they'll not be so party conscious, but that they'll be concerned about our nation as a whole, and above all, put God first. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the demons of hell that would endeavor to dominate the financial scene of our nation. We pray for the economy of our nation. We pray about the unemployed. We pray that the economy will be turned around and everyone that wants a job will find a job, and that we will be prosperous as a whole, as a nation, to continue to carry the gospel around the world. We command the devil and all of his cohorts, take your hand off the financial scene of our nation. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would endeavor to dominate the domestic scene of our nation. We command you, Satan, and all of your cohorts, take your hand off the domestic scene of our nation. May there be peace. May there be tranquility. May there be understanding from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border. We sweep the air clean from demons, powers of evil that would hinder, that would dominate, in the name of Jesus. We come against all forces that are wrong. And Father, we pray with our understanding as best we know how. We're instructed to do so. And then you guys can read the rest another time, because it's talking about from there on if we were going to be praying in the Spirit for this issue. So this is good. It's good stuff. There's a bulletin in the back if you want it, and it has it in that for you if you want it. But this is good stuff to take. You can repeat prayers because this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we're just hooking up. There are people all over the United States and all over the world that are praying this right now. So we're not just a few of us doing this. We're joining thousands upon thousands that are believing this and praying this and believing this for our nation and for other nations. And so just want to encourage you on that. God is going to win. You read Revelation, we win. And so just every day, instead of looking at it as you're barely getting along, you come at it as I am confident and strong, knowing that the forces of God Almighty, the power of Him, is backing me and causing me to win and causing what He has called me to do to come to pass. You're powerful in and of yourself when you have the backing of God. And then when you join your power with the person next to you, it multiplies. It goes crazy much. And so we here, this group right here, can affect a lot of stuff spiritually because there's so many of us joining together. And so what we just prayed, we're affecting things. We're causing change. They may be making crazy decisions about all sorts of weird stuff right now. But you know what? We're powerful. And we just keep pushing forward and keep believing God. That's why most people believe there has to be a rapture. Because it can't get dark enough with the Christian church that knows the authority that they have. We have to leave so that it can get ugly. So that's what we're expecting, to go on with Jesus, be on His side and His will to be accomplished here on earth.